Proverbs 8. My goal for us today is that you would leave here marveling at the wisdom of God. Not just wisdom in general, but the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God, marvel at this, in his creation, and the wisdom of God in his salvation. Wisdom in Jesus Christ. That's my goal. So here in Proverbs 8, wisdom is going to be personified again. Kind of give like human characteristics to wisdom to make it come to life for us. So wisdom is not just about making good choices. We're going to start here, Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 6. We're going to go all the way through 11. Wisdom is saying, listen to me. Whoops, we got the wrong version. That's going to probably mess you up. I'll just read it out of my Bible, or we can read it on the screen. Listen to me. I have important things to tell you. Everything I say is right, for I speak the truth and detest every kind of deception. My advice is wholesome. There is nothing devious or crooked in it. My words are plain to anyone with understanding, clear to those with knowledge. Choose my instruction rather than silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold. For wisdom is far more valuable than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with it. So just take these things to heart for a second. Look at what wisdom says, just in these few verses. Everything I say is right. I always speak the truth. Wisdom detests every kind of deception and wickedness. There is nothing crooked or devious in wisdom. It's more valuable than money, and get this, nothing you desire can compare with it. Now look at verse 13. It keeps going. This gets real serious. Verse 13. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Wisdom says, therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption and perverse speech. Or look at verse 17 as we work our way through this. Again, wisdom says, it's so plain, I love all who love me. Those who search will surely find me. Search for me will surely find me. You know, here is what is interesting. God himself says these same things in other parts of the scripture. Jeremiah 29:13. If you search for me, you will find me. But wisdom is not just something that God has. Wisdom's not just something that God does. He is wisdom. Like Jesus is wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:24 puts it this way. Christ is the wisdom and power of God, all wrapped up in who Jesus is. Now, in this next section, here's what I want you to do. I want you to marvel at the wisdom of God in creation. I know that we grew up in this world and we kind of get numb to it, like a fish doesn't know it's wet. You ever considered that? It's just the world we live in. But I want you to marvel at this for a second. God doesn't like gain wisdom or grow in wisdom. God doesn't learn from his mistakes because he hasn't made any like we do. He always had full wisdom before there ever was a world. So Proverbs 8, 22 through 29. This is good. The Lord formed me from the beginning, before he created anything else. Wisdom says, I was appointed in ages past, long ago, at the very beginning, before the earth even began. That's older than your daddy. I was born before the oceans were created, before the springs bubbled forth their waters, before the mountains were shaped and formed, before the hills, I was born. Before he had made the earth and the fields and the first handfuls of soil, I was there when he established the heavens. Get this. And he drew the horizon on the oceans. Before he said, skies, you're up here, and the horizon, you're down here. I was there when he set the clouds above, when he established the springs deep in the earth. I was there when he set the limits to the sea so they would not spread beyond their boundaries. And when he marked off the earth's foundation. Wow. The point is to show you that wisdom was with God from the beginning. This is good. Wisdom is from Ancient of Days, long ago. Wisdom is not some human invention. Wisdom's not something that we thought up after making dumb decisions. It's normally how we learn it. Wisdom is not from human ingenuity or AI. Well, now we have AI, now we'll be wise. But before there ever even was creation, wisdom was there. So up on the screen, creation displays the wisdom of God. Now, if you checked out, this is the fun part of the sermon. You didn't think twice this morning of what it took for the sun to come up. Did you? I didn't, and I knew I was going to say that. But if you think about it, this will blow your mind. For thousands and thousands of laps, we have been orbiting the sun at 66,000 miles an hour. There's no speed limits in the universe. We get Mitchell and Emma a car like that. Get you right out. I wasn't supposed to say that. Anyways. I want you to think of the wisdom of God. I'm not making this up. We have been lap after lap after lap around the sun. It takes about a year. But if the calculations were just a little off, like we were just a little bit farther away from the sun, I mean, we're going 60,000 miles an hour. It's, you know, you can swerve. Even everything would freeze. Even the cockroaches wouldn't survive. It would just turn into a big ball of ice. Consider that. Who is steering this thing? The Lord is its pilot. Or, consider this, if we were just a smidge closer, just a percentage closer to the sun as we made laps around it, all the water on Earth would evaporate, leave the atmosphere, snowmen would never exist, Olaf would never have been, and life would not be sustainable if we were just a little bit closer, if the calculations were off. And you don't even think about it. You don't think about what it took to swing this thing around the sun. Global warming isn't a concern of mine because God is the pilot of this planet. We don't steer this thing. So rather, don't get panicked. Rather, look at the precise calculations of the wisdom of God. It didn't just happen. Wisdom says to the ocean, here are your boundaries. Consider that. Oh yeah, I know. I've been to Florida. I know. No. Think about this. The waves, they crash into the shore over and over and over, and they never make it any farther. That's their boundaries. To this raging ocean. Here's where you will stop. Marvel at that for a minute. Not at the science, but the God who designed it. You know, I hated school my whole life growing up. Hated it. And once I became a Christian, everything changed. Learning was now fascinating to me. Not because I want to be smarter. I'm already at a deficit there. There's a cap on my, I don't even know what you call it, IQ. But learning became much more fascinating. So get this. Marvel at this. The moon. The moon orbits around the earth, pulling so hard on the earth that it changes the height of the ocean. That's what causes your tides. trillions and trillions of pounds of pull, of gravitational pull on the Earth, the moon. And it never crashes in. It never gets off course. We don't lose it some days and then it comes back on other days. Who does that? This is the world we live in. You just never think about it. Marvel at that. Up on the screen, it's not chance. It's God's wisdom on display. All for you to know. And this last one, this one's just for fun. I found this out just this week. The pigeon, okay? We don't have many pigeons around here, but you know how a pigeon walks? That's my best impression, okay? Sorry if you didn't get it. I left the wings off. All right. This is so cool. Do you know why they walk around like that? I just discovered it. They do that. It's not for balance. It's not for walking efficiency. It's not because they're trying to be cool. Here's why they do it. They love to focus their eyes on still objects. Fascinating. They move their heads forward so that they can keep their head straight still when they walk. Now get this. You do the same thing. You don't know it. You do the same thing when you scroll on your phone. It's the reason that you don't just go a constant, steady scroll. You scroll a little bit, pause. Look at what you want. Scroll a little bit, pause. Look at what you want. You don't just go steadily. Oh, okay, I'm reading. You gotta focus. Now, if you're like me, here's the skeptical part. How do they know that? Did they ask the pigeon? You have those thoughts too, right? Like, why is that car got to be so expensive? How do they know about these animal studies? Well, get this. They put the pigeon on a pigeon treadmill and made that sucker walk, and guess what happened? His head was completely straight. Like, what? Who designs a bird like that? Marvel at the wisdom of God. Don't think it's boring. Like, this world we live in is not boring if you get to know the one who made it. Psalm 104:24 puts it this way. Oh Lord, what a variety of the things you've made. In wisdom, you made them all. And the earth is full of it. Just look at it. We know more now about the creation of God than any other time in human history. You have plenty to marvel at. Kids, if I had a do-over, I would have paid attention in school. I'm like learning all the stuff you guys learned in eighth grade. Now that I'm 40. And don't get this idea that God is against joy and happiness and pleasure. Look at verse 30 and 31. I was the architect at his side. I was his constant, what's the word? Delight. Rejoicing always in his presence. And how happy I was with the world that he created. How I rejoiced with the human family that he made. Look at the words that he used there. Delighting, rejoicing, happy. Satan wants you to think that God is the enemy of pleasure and fun and joy. I know, you think that because sin is fun and church is boring. Right? Absolutely opposite. I can promise you right now, no one in heaven doubts that God is full of delight and joy and happiness. And I can promise you right now, no one in hell thinks that sin was as fun as they thought it was. I can promise you that. Don't be tricked. Last thing and we'll be done. Marvel at the wisdom of God in salvation. This is good. This is better than staring at the sun. Who but our God could dream up salvation? Who but God could write a better gospel, a better rescue story? There's none that compares with it. A better hero, a better love story, and yet has it to be true. This isn't imagination, this is real life. Somehow, God in his wisdom can save an ungodly sinner. Now track this. Save an ungodly sinner, you and me, and not violate his character for perfect justice. He can save an ungodly, wicked, twisted sinner like you and me and not violate absolute perfect justice. God cares more about justice than we do. How do you do that? Well, it's called the riddle of the Old Testament. It comes from Psalm 34, where it says, I, the Lord, abound in love. I forgive rebellion. But look at this. Nope, that's not it. I, the Lord, forgive sin and rebellion, but I will not let the guilty go unpunished. That's an oxymoron, if you're tracking. You don't have a judge that says, I'll forgive you, but yet you're going to be punished. I won't let the guilty go free. How is that even possible? The answer is very simple. Such wisdom. It all is in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's how. You can't make that up. That takes infinite wisdom to have a gospel like that. Wisdom in salvation. He lays our sins on a Savior who had no sin, so that he can look on Christ and let me go free. He laid them on in a real way. The cross isn't just a story. There's real blood spilled. And when we do communion, it's a physical reminder. We're not even doing communion today. Of what it took to save a sinner. What a gospel. Every sin will be accounted for one day. Either laid on Jesus Christ, every sin, and you're hiding under him, or you'll pay for your own sin in hell, which has no exits. And after 10,000 years, you'll realize you're no closer to the end than when you first began. What a gospel. What a Savior. Do you think you're going to struggle to love Jesus like after 10,000 years? There's even a verse in Isaiah, it's the very last two verses in Isaiah that says, from month to month and week to week, we'll go out and look on the dead bodies of those who've rejected Christ. And we're going to come back and worship him. Marvel at the wisdom of God in creation, and marvel at the wisdom of God in salvation. I'm going to end with this, 32 through the end. And so, my dear children, just listen to me. For all who follow my ways are joyful. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Don't ignore it. Joyful are those who listen to me, watch for me daily at my gates, waiting for me outside my home. It's personification. Whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But those who miss me injure themselves. And all who hate me love death. That's Proverbs 8. Let's pray. God, would you help us to see your wisdom, to not trust in ourselves, to not lean on our own understanding, but to follow you, that we are in the best place when we give ear to your instructions, when we trust in Jesus Christ, when we say no to sins. Would you help us to love you more than we do? Would you help us to obey more than we obey? And that our short little earthly lives would bring honor to your name. It's in his name we pray. Amen.